Right, yeah, so just quickly tell me what you do, who you are, and why you do it.
Jason Criddle. I run a technology investment firm, so I use my influence and my wealth to try and have conversations with people about what we're talking about now.
23, 24, I got my first part-time job, and I built up from nothing. Now when you learn to structure something, you actually have less stress and you can actually think easier. And then you realize that you can't learn to be an entrepreneur, I don't think. You either have it or you don't.
To me, whenever you see the term entrepreneur, the definition is a person that takes on significant financial risks in order to build a business or whatever.
Yeah, to me, the entrepreneur is this resilience. So when you fall, get back up and keep going. You can't be born with that. You either have it or you don't. If you had one day left to live, what's the one thing that you would tell everybody listening?
Family is all that matters.
Right, yeah, so just quickly tell me what you do, who you are, and why you do it.
Jason Criddle. You know, it's been a long time since I filled out a resume or tried to explain to somebody who I was or what I did. I guess at the end of the day, I run a technology investment firm. But even though our firm is about 10 years old now, and even though I went through a career of being a personal trainer and helping 500 people lose 9,000 pounds. And even though I started writing books and I started a publishing company and I've helped hundreds of entrepreneurs write books. And even though I've seen 14,000 business plans in my career, and I, instead of trying to help entrepreneurs build businesses now, I talk to them about building a community and doing something local. At the end of the day, everything that I do is to give me an opportunity to talk to people about growth, to talk to people about God. You know, and God can be any word that anybody chooses to use. It can be Allah or Muhammad or the universe or flow or spiritual realm or energy or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, there is a power that we live with inside, that we can negotiate with and we can sacrifice to and we can create alongside. And I have a personal relationship with that power. So I use my influence and my wealth to try and have conversations with people about what we're talking about now.
What's very interesting is that back in the day, we started from what I call in the tribe, the cave, just a few people around us, and then we build out. And now with technology and social media, we're now expanding to millions in seconds. And we're forgetting the basics of community and local things and people. So, you know, naturally, I want to start teaching people online what I do. But it's like, I haven't even told my neighbor. What I should be doing is going into like small communities, maybe yoga classes, ecstatic stance classes, small communities that are all about therapy and healing. And getting three people to want to listen to me before I even think about getting 10 people on a Zoom call. And like what you've just said, it should be the local first, and then 5 becomes 10, 10 becomes 20. Like Ed Sheeran, he didn't just sell out to arena straight away. He was singing in his local pub, and then he sold, was singing at his next local pub, and then he built a following in his area, and then he branched out 5 miles down the road. And then he brought them to the stadium rather than what people do nowadays is they want to do a video online. They want to make it online instantly around the world. And they want to be able to travel to any country and almost turn up at a stadium and people come and see you. And that's really the opposite to what is real. What you see when you see them online, you do not see the years and years and years of graft. Like with your business, you didn't just become successful overnight. It would have been years and years and years of hard work. Maybe living on the couch, sacrificing going out, not buying clothes, not buying cars, not spending money on unnecessary food. You're just accumulating and I hope that one day it will pay off and that all of this time and money and energy will end up giving you an abundance of all of that to the point where you never need it again. But then it's not even about that. It's about the process of having a purpose and doing something every day that you enjoy and that you're passionate about. And what I want to do is create wealth so I can give it back out. Because once you've got your car on the drive, I'm not going to be home. I'm going to be traveling the world doing what I'm doing, which is being with small people on the ground, doing podcasts, helping people out, you know, helping people if they need money for a crisis or some homeless people. So my Lamborghini is just going to rot. So why would I need the money in the Lambo? It's about people, community. And as you say, you hit it nail on the head. Start from local first.
There's a term that I like to use, which is don't try to become successful before you become valuable. A lot of people do exactly like you did. Everybody wakes up on mom's couch and they decide that they have an idea. And then they immediately start looking for $1 million for that idea. And the reason why they're doing that is because they watch TV too much. They see Shark Tank and they see a group of people that are fighting over writing them a check. But that's not real. That's TV. And the sad part is there's an entire legion, millions upon millions upon millions of people who call themselves entrepreneur. And entrepreneur is not a goal, and it's not a title that somebody should want to take on. It's a path that you should get through as fast as you possibly can. And the reason why people glorify the term entrepreneur is because to them, whenever someone hears the word entrepreneur, they think that that means successful. Well, no, a business owner is successful. An investor is successful. So we can take that same philosophy of not trying to become successful before you become valuable, and we can apply it to relationships. A single person will be out of shape and they'll have no hobbies or goals, and they'll come home after a small day at a small life and a small job, and they'll turn on the telly. And then they start watching TV, and they spend the rest of their time from the time they get home till the time they go to sleep eating in front of the couch, and then they go to sleep and they start all over again. And they do this day after day. And they want the perfect partner. They want a man or a woman to come into their life that shows them the world, and we'll travel together, and we'll build businesses together, and we'll be a power couple, and we're going to do all these things together. But the problem is you're still sitting on the couch. The law of attraction, a lot of people have a misconception of the law of attraction. People think that we attract the things that we want, and we attract what we are. And so we cannot attract a perfect partner until we are the perfect partner. We have to work on our health, and we have to work on our hobbies and our purpose and get closer to our true self. And it isn't until we do that that we would just really attract the partner that we need. So the same thing happens in business. If somebody wants to waste a year looking for $1 million investment for an idea, they would get a whole lot further if they spent that year building $1 million business. And then by the end of that year, they're not going to have to waste time seeking out $1 million investment. The way that I became valuable, of everything that you see online, it's really cool because I have stuff online that tons of people around the world have seen. I have videos, and I've been on the news, and I've been on tons of radio shows and podcasts. And these little shows, they all have little droplets of little ripples of success for our companies, for my brands. But let's back up to whenever I first got on the call. I used to weigh 400 pounds. And I hated my life. I smoked cigarettes. I drink alcohol. I wasn't an alcoholic. I just drank alcohol. The reason why it's significant enough to say I used to drink alcohol is because I don't. So I went on a journey of bettering myself. I became a licensed personal trainer. I became a licensed nutritionist. I lost 200 pounds myself. I put on 30 or 40 pounds of muscle, and then I went out into the world and I became a personal trainer. And whenever I first started as a personal trainer, I was in a small town in Georgia at a small gym that had 15 people in it at any given time. And I got my first client, and then I got my second. And before I knew it, more people were signing up at that gym and more people were becoming my clients. And whenever it was time to move back to Dallas, I was really scared, Oliver. And the reason why I was scared is because I felt like a big fish in a small pond. I realized, well, I had already lost hundreds of pounds. I have more knowledge than personal trainers. Most personal trainers, they just look good and they don't even know why. They don't have the knowledge of changing a body. And so since I was having such a big impact in this really small town, I thought to myself, when I get to Dallas, I'm never going to be able to be as successful because then I'm going to be a small fish in a big pond. So I got to Dallas and I started working at a gym, and a big gym, a gym that had 5,000 people a day coming through it. Mm-hmm. And I started training there and there were 22 trainers. Within 2 weeks of me being there, there were 9 trainers because I changed the game. Everybody's clients started coming to me because they had been working out with this trainer for a year, this trainer for 2 years. They worked out for 1 week with me and now they're losing weight and they're seeing results. I became what they called a master trainer. And a master trainer, it sounds like you're a trainer that you're giving people a whole lot of results and you have happy clients and you're doing all this thing in servitude and you're bringing value to your clients. But no, what they called a master trainer was someone who learned the computer system well enough to be able to sell their personal training products. So I became a master trainer. And one of the cool things about becoming a master trainer is they allowed me to stop training one person at a time and instead train two or more people at one time. That's what they said, two or more. My first master trainer session, I had 62 people. From that point, I stopped scaling. I stopped training people individually. How am I going to have an impact with so many people if I'm meeting someone for 30 minutes at a time or somebody for an hour at a time and I'm only filling in my schedule? What if I have so many people at once? And then in this next hour, I have so many people. In this next hour, I have so many people. I started working outside of the gym and I started offering a free boot camp on Meetup to anybody that wanted to come. And before I knew it, I had 100 people showing up every Saturday to come running with us, come working out with us. Brother, it got to the point to where cops were blocking traffic so that we could run across the street. And I was able to carry that success into scalability. So I started writing my first books and I had my own website. Well, 10 or 12 years ago, nobody had a book and nobody had a website. So whenever I would walk into a room, not only was I stronger than everybody, I was faster than everybody. I was more motivational than everybody. I was more charismatic than everybody, but I also had tools that people didn't have. And so then I built businesses to sell people those tools. And it just grew and it grew and it grew. And the only reason why this success happens is because of the success before it. So while everybody sees me here on the top, what they don't realize is what I'm really good at doing is that first step every day. My day is full of connecting with one person at a time and making a huge impact in their life. I get on a call like this. I get on a call with a potential associate. I get on a call with an entrepreneur that's starting a business. I get on a call with an investor and I let that person know that they're the most important person in my life at that moment. And I provide as much value as I can without expecting anything in return. And that's how I've built a $113 million business.
Yeah, so my whole life, I've always jumped from one idea to the other. And often it's because I was doing that one specific thing because I could make money quickly. It wasn't a passion. It wasn't something that I even thought about. How can I grow? It was just at this moment, how can I make cash? I'm going to buy, sell some furniture. And then because it's not a passion, naturally you lose your creativity and you lose your drive and your even your goal to get up because you're doing it for the money, not for the enjoyment. And I actually chased money so much that it was just too much. And I binned everything I had and I was just left with a bed. Just a bed. Binned my phone, binned my laptop, binned every song I wrote, my whole laptop, all my ideas, fighting out ideas in my brain. It was just too much. So many ideas. No one to help me create the ideas. No money for the ideas. Too much. Had a mental, spiritual awakening. Started again. And I thought, what would Jesus, what did Jesus have back in the day? He was the most happiest person alive, as we think. What did he have? Nothing but all that he had. Nothing that all everyone else has. So I thought, if I'm going to really make it in life and I want to be successful, I've got to be grateful and happy with nothing. Because if I have money, nothing changes. So I binned everything. And at 23, 24, I got my first part-time job, always worked for myself. And I built up from nothing. I binned everything and I built everything up again. And I said to myself, if I'm going to create something, it's going to be something that I can build and continue, not something that's a short, quick buck like it always has been, hiring gazebos in the summer when COVID happened or whatever. I've got to create something that I can actually grow. And from doing that, I've invested 99% of everything into crypto. So I've taken that, put it into this, and now this will hopefully scale times 30 times 40. And then you take that and then you put it into something else. And if I'd known this formula of just create something big enough that you can take that and put it into something else and then scale that and then take that into something else and scale that, I wouldn't have farted around making a bit here, a bit there, a bit here and bit there. But of course, when I was younger, I was still a kid. I knew how to make money, but I didn't know systems and strategies and management and order and how to write things down, how to file taxes, how to manage stuff, how to do invoices. I had no clue. It was just all over the place, just shit everywhere, right? But now when you learn to structure something, you actually have less stress and you can actually think easier to the point where these small tasks that would have felt like, oh, so overwhelming, are just part of life. File your invoice, make sure it's filed on the computer under a title that you're going to remember, having order, having a system. And then you realize that, as you say, entrepreneur, it is a term that's just farted around and it's lost its value. You know, everyone wants to be an entrepreneur. Someone's got an idea. Someone's like making some money cutting grass. All entrepreneur. No, you're not an entrepreneur just because you can make a bit of money. It's a mindset. You can't learn to be an entrepreneur, I don't think. And you can't either have it or you don't. You've either got that killer instinct to do your thing, irrelevant to what everyone else says, know how to get there. You don't give up until you get there. You either have it or you don't. I don't believe it's genetic. I don't believe you can learn it. I believe that through some sequence event in your life that you just latched onto your own drive and charged your own vehicle. And then if you keep going, eventually you should become successful. And I find that a lot of people that are entrepreneurs, they're literally just obsessed with their own energy in their head, right? Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, it's not about the money. They're in the office, like, you know, all day, all night, just trying to get that last thing off their list. Doesn't end. To really, they're just they're giving themselves therapy by getting out that thought or ticking off that to do. Right? I had threats growing up. So it's like there's always another thought going into your head. It doesn't end. So these people, yeah, they're entrepreneurs, but they're not trying to be entrepreneurs. An entrepreneur to me is just you have something in your head and you're trying to get there and you will get there. And there's nothing in the way of that. You're taking full responsibility, full control, full charge. And like most things in life, things just lose their real meaning and value. You know, things just get overused and you start to underappreciate them and you forget where it came from and what the purpose of that thing. For example, an entrepreneur is anyway. And a lot of entrepreneurs, they don't need titles. They're just doing their thing. Elon Musk is just doing his thing. He just wants to get to Mars. He's not thinking about how much money I can make, what you think I am. He's just literally getting out the voice in his head.
Whenever you said, who are you and what do you do? My response is usually, I'm Jason fucking Criddle. And that's it. I don't prescribe to any labels. I don't have a title that anybody calls me. You know, I called myself an author when I wrote my first book. Once I got to my first five books, I realized that author wasn't even significant anymore. And now that I published 19, I don't even talk about the books that I wrote because writing is just a part of who I am. I'm not, anytime I put out a book, I could care less if somebody buys it or reads it. I'm doing it for me. Writing is how I channel myself into source. There's times when I sit down and I start writing and I get 5,000 words written and then I go back and read it because I don't even know what I wrote. And so I read my own writing and then I'm like, wow, I didn't know that before.
Yeah.
Because I'm a channel for something else. And you're absolutely right. Like COVID made a whole lot of people lose their jobs. And so then you had tens of millions of people who had worthless jobs, meaningless jobs, so much so that they were just laid off and let go. And then a lot of those people went home and then they took on a title of entrepreneur. And a lot of people, of course, whenever they take on the title of entrepreneur and they print a business card, then they also take on a title of CEO. Usually whenever you're when I'm talking on over here on my camera at the bottom, it says Jason Criddle, managing partner, CEO, but we're not using Zoom. So since we're using Google Meet, that's not there. But whenever I see somebody who's a CEO, somebody calls themselves a CEO, I'm always really impressed with them because a CEO is a board appointed position by a group of advisors or managers that you have that believe in your ability to run that company so much that they tell you they want you to be CEO. So when somebody walks around with a business card and they make no money and there's nobody working for their business, all they did is they took away the value of what CEO really means. They took away the value of what entrepreneur really means. And you're exactly right, brother. An entrepreneur is not somebody that got laid off from their job and then they go out and they take a risk. I started mowing lawns when I was 10. By the time I was 12, I had two adults working for me and driving me around. Whenever you'd see the term entrepreneur, the definition is a person that takes on significant financial risks in order to build a business or whatever, something like that. To me, an entrepreneur is a person that wakes up and can manage their time. You don't need a manager. You don't need a boss. Nobody has to tell you what to do. You take care of every responsibility that you have all by yourself, even if you have no help. You don't have anybody holding you accountable, but you still choose to do it anyway. You fill your time with more meaningful responsibility. You take on a task and you finish it, and then you seek out another task that's harder than the last task, and you take that on and you finish it. That's what a true entrepreneur is, and there are very, very, very few real entrepreneurs on this planet. I consider myself to be an entrepreneur, but it's not a title that I carry around. I'm Jason Criddle. Elon Musk is an entrepreneur, but everybody knows him as Elon Musk. Jeff Bezos, he's Jeff Bezos. Like you said, these guys are not CEOs of their companies. They don't need the title. Their name and their character and their ability to follow out their passions and their dreams, regardless of what people think about them. That's what makes an entrepreneur. There were years ago whenever I put my books online and then I had a YouTube channel, and whenever a comment would come in and somebody said something negative, I would care and I would let it bother me. Now, not only do I not give a shit what people think of me at all, then I appreciate anybody that's taking the time, even if they're spreading negativity. And the reason why I care so much is because they care so much. Because if they didn't care, they wouldn't take the time. The only reason why somebody is willing to sit down and talk negatively about someone who's willing to change and someone who's helping someone positively change is because they are so mad at themselves that deep down in their soul that they're not capable of doing the same thing. And so they take that out on other people. One of the funny things is, man, I've been in cybersecurity for a while, and over 90% of the cyber bullies that are online, that are starting shit online and starting, you know, in threads and bullying people and saying racist stuff, and they are 55 and older.
Really?
I really want you to think about that.
What percentage?
Over 90%.
A 55 and older.
These are people that never accomplished anything in their life. They went through their entire life taking the easy path, and they're not proud of themselves. And now they're at their end of their life, and they're surrounded with technology, and they're connected to the millions of people. And instead of using that technology to build positive change, they hide in comment sections underneath anonymous profiles. And they prove that they never grew up as children. They were bullies in school. They never learned how to share the ball on the playground. They've let their health go. They have let their dreams go. I'd be willing to bet that a huge percentage of those people that are bullying people online could not do a single push-up or run to the end of the street. If you don't have control over your body, if you have never challenged your own physiology, which is the reason why I take health so seriously, is because when I go into the gym and I work out like a dog and I come out sweating and sore, I've accomplished something. Not only did I accomplish something, I achieved something that made me better than I was before. Imagine going through your entire life and never understanding your body. Imagine going through your entire life and never taking on a challenge greater than yourself. Then all of a sudden, you'll make challenges out of everything. You'll make problems out of everything. You'll make problems that don't exist in your own mind, and you'll create those problems in the real world just so you can surround yourself with negativity and then try to fix the problems that you created. And that's the world that we live in, man. And so all I try to do with my time is have conversations like this that are thought-provoking enough to where people are willing to comment and people are willing to share.
Yeah. To me, the entrepreneur is this resilience. So when you fall, get back up and keep going. You put your money in a crypto coin. It goes down. Everyone says, see, why didn't you listen to me? You shouldn't have done that. You pay no attention. You do it in another one and it goes up. And you don't spend any time saying told you so, because you just know it's part of the game. Every knock, every down, every failure. We don't think about the failure. It's just, right, what next? Right? You can't be born with that. You either have that or you don't. Where negativity doesn't get to you. You just numb to it. It's just failure, fall up, failure, fall up, failure, fall up. And you just, that's your whole life, your whole mindset. If your pipe in your house starts to crack, just part of life, just deal with it, call the plumber, get it fixed, move on. There's a flood in the floor. Well, that's what happens when there's a pipe blockage. Get new carpet. Busy on Saturday, we'll go Sunday. It's just this constant navigation through problems. You have a goal, which is find the solution to that. You go. There's no time to moan about it. No time to, you know, you want to work out why it happened so you can stop it from happening again. Don't make the same mistake twice. Once you found that reason, you move on. There's no talking about it. No blaming people. Oh, fucking wife, turn the tap off. Turn the tap on. I told you, she told me she turned it off. There's none of that, okay? Responsibility, have the chat, say, love, maybe we should turn the tap off because this might happen. We are always responsible for the outcome, because end of the day, we are creating our vision, and we have to be responsible for everything that we are visioning in our mindset. So, you know, the CEO thing, when I was younger, I'm sure I did the same thing. Lawnmower services, CEO of Oliver's grass cutting company. You know, you've got a business card. We all did that, right? Obviously, it's a load of nonsense. CEO of what? My asshole, right? So I did the grass cutting, washing cars when I'm 8 years old. Oh, little entrepreneur. Yeah. I've heard it all before. But it's really just, you're just on your own vision to get to where you want to be. And it's, you know, it kind of is the money, but it's not the money. For me, it's all about the freedom. Freedom of myself, freedom of time. If I've got money, then I have got all the time in the world to do whatever I want to do. It's not the money. You can only buy a certain amount of stuff. You can only buy a £400 steak, £500 steak. Eventually, you're not going to get a steak for a grand. So money doesn't really get you any better quality of steak. You can only have so many clothes, right? So really, money's about managing your time. We spend so much time making money for other people where he is managing his time. And you have no time because you are allowing that person to manage his time. Money in the bank means that you can manage your own time. And in life, that's all we have, time. And I value my time incredibly important. Every day I'm thinking, if I was to die tomorrow, would I have valued my time the best I could? Or my health? What could I have done to change my health? I'm obsessed with my health. Meaning I want to live as long as I can, so I can enjoy and endure the most out of life that I can. And the only way to do that is with money. You know, you can trade, maybe. I'll teach your kid piano if you let me jump out your plane. Yeah, that's a nice idea back in the day, trading a carrot for a bar of gold. Reality is these days, no one's going to do that, right? But in a world where if you could do that, how wonderful. Wouldn't even need to make money. I'll just simply go out my door. I'll wash your car. You give me a massage. You want some carrots? Fix my TV. No one would have to work. No one would have to make money. So therefore, we'd have all day doing what we're doing. And when you want something, you just be like, hey, did you say you've got... sorry, shut up. Did you say you needed your fence painted? Well, actually, I need my hair cut. So how about I paint your fence? You cut my hair. Right. And everyone's just in the local communities like they were back in the day before the money note came around. And they're just community, local, how it should be. And actually, I think as humans are fucking up themselves on the planet and we're becoming robots, we will start to come back to the local tribes. I'm seeing that countries are getting too big. Governments don't have enough manpower to control people. That when the people rise up, they're basically fed up of that narrative that they divide up and create their own narrative. So now they've got like a smaller country and they can create their own narrative. And then eventually they'll be like, oh, well, America divided up and California became its own country within a country. I want to create my own country within California. So now we're diversing countries into states, states into counties, to the point where we're back to where we began. Little Texas with 100 people, 25 families, before we all branched out into Louisiana and, you know, places next door. That's what's going to happen, where you have too many elephants in a mini that they're popping out the window, right? That has to be what happens. If you look at like a wildfire where all the trees burn and they go to a pulp and then new trees grow, well, the new trees just start from scratch again. One tree becomes a jungle, too many trees, they burn each other down, yeah? Too many people in one place, they start shitting on each other, sharing opinions, nicking your shit, punching you, shagging your wife. And then eventually there's no one left. We've killed each other, we've eaten each other, we've like poisoned each other, you know? So now we're just back to that one little old lady just keeping herself... Is it safe to come out yet?
Right.
But one little tree, just fruiticians, creates another tree, and that's the evolution of life. And I think that is what's going to happen, where we're just going to start again.
I see it. I see the end of social media coming. Social media is not even social media anymore. It's just advertising and bullshit. You know, even the news that we look at online is not even real news that's typed out by real people with real opinions anymore. It's regurgitated AI crap that's put out by computer programs. You know, whenever I was a kid, I had many jobs. When I was 14, I started working at Tum Thumb, a grocery store. It was local here. And they still have them everywhere. But I was a cashier. And I also, I was a bag boy sometimes. I would take the cart and I would help people out to the car. But whenever I would come into work, every single day when I walked into the grocery, the store director was standing right there in a suit. And the assistant store director was standing right next to him in a suit. And they would say, "Hello, Mr. Criddle. How you doing? How was school today? Did you have fun? Welcome to work. This is your responsibilities that you're going to be working on today. You're going to be over there at cash lane number 5. Go ahead and go get your till and get started working." And then right behind me would be a customer that's coming in to grocery shop. And they would say, "Hello, Mrs. Tillman. How are you doing today? How's your weekend going? How are your sons? We haven't seen them in the store in a couple of days. Oh, last time you were here, you asked about this thing that was on special. I went ahead and have a rain check sitting over there with Miss Sally at the cashier station. If you go over there," everything was personal. We knew every customer by name. Mm-hmm. Not only was there the store director and the assistant store director, grocery had a director, pharmacy had a director, produce had a director, dry goods had a director, the deli had a director, the bakery had a director. And these were all people that were in charge of those systems. And then they all had their own employees that worked in their own departments. And if you learned how to work in one or more or two or three of departments, they automatically promoted you to a director because they knew that you were taking your job seriously. Now you go to the store and the only person that you see is the person that already assumes you're stealing. And then you have to go through the entire store by yourself. If you need help, boy, you're on your own, because if you ask for help, you're going to ask some kid that doesn't give dick about their job. And if they do have to help you, they're going to do it sarcastically, without ambition, without integrity. If you have a problem, then you're more than likely going to have another kid that's disguised as a manager come up to you and then disrespect you to the point to where you just leave and you don't deal with the problem. But then what choice do you have? You still got to go back to that store and you still have to spend your money there. We are literally eating ourselves alive and we don't realize it. And one of the things that I talk about all the time is we're on the brink of destroying ourselves. We're at the cusp of civil war. And here's the thing, Oliver. I'm smart enough to realize that it's probably going to happen, regardless of how hard we work to try and stop it. I'm also smart enough to realize that it's probably necessary.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's the only way. A huge loss is the only way to get people to appreciate what they have. We go through our lives taking everything for granted until all of a sudden you get diagnosed with cancer, or all of a sudden you lose your job. And it's at these pinnacle points in our life when we lose something that most people change. Most people do not have the tenacity to be able to gain something and then gain more and then gain more. That is a completely different mindset than everybody else, because usually that person that's done nothing significant their entire lives, whenever they gain something, it makes them more comfortable and less ambitious. It makes them lazier. They're like, "I succeeded at that goal." When you and me, we wake up, I got 17 goals to fulfill today and 38 to fulfill before the end of the week. And whenever I fulfill those goals, I'm going to find more. I'm going to make them up. I'm going to make them up, you know? I'm going to go find problems to solve. So, yeah, brother. Hey, you know, I know that our time is getting to be over and everything. I want to invite you to talk on my show, because all of my content is about to be on my TV channel. So I'm hoping to have it launched by the end of the month. The only thing that's stopping me is I got so busy building everybody else's channels, man.
So I'd love to.
I want you to come on and we're just going to do a little bit of a role reversal and we're going to find out who Oliver is.
Sounds good. Before we leave, anything you want to promote or plug?
Right now, I'm building out a TV network. If somebody wants to go to TVBuilderPro.com, they can get access to our Smarter app. It would allow them to not only buy a TV channel of their own, but they can utilize the app to sell TV channels, and they make income whenever they sell those channels. And now, the reason why I want to build this TV network is because I'm changing the narrative. Every channel that we build, Oliver, we're in control of the interface and we're in control of the advertising. So rather than advertising being bullshit, trying to sell you this thing you don't need, trying to show you that thing that you don't need, trying to make you feel ugly so that you buy this, and trying to make you feel bad about yourself or get scared so you buy this, this is going to be our commercials. Positivity, speaking life into people, putting inspiration in people. Brother, I want to build 10,000 channels by the end of this year. I want to build 100,000 channels by the end of next year. You know what I mean? And all I'm working on right now is building the team, finding the people to make it happen. So, yeah, man, if somebody wants to look me up, they can just find me. If they Google Jason Criddle, they're going to find 100 pages of stuff, man.
If you had one day left to live, what's the one thing that you would tell everybody listening?
Family is all that matters.
Perfect. All right. Appreciate your time. And I'll pick you up after this.
Yeah, for sure, brother.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening. If you like this episode, please remember to subscribe, turn the bell notifications on, like the episode, and comment below. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's YesKingOliver. Take a look at the other videos to your side. And if you just want to listen to this podcast, you can do so on Apple and Spotify and most other platforms by going to talkwitholiver.com.